Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about how Venezuela has food shortages. There is no food. We're also going to be talking about who owns America's debt and the importance of prudent preparation. It's time to prepare. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you.
But we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. We're excited about today's program. We have so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about the current situation in Venezuela, as well as who owns America's debt. We're going to break this down for you, as well as a special segment we're going to be sharing with you regarding preparing just like Noah prepared, right? God speaks to us and he prepares us of danger, of things that we want to be cautious about. And we're going to be just showing you some things that we think are going to be of great encouragement. But before we do, I want to talk to you about Venezuela. You know, we've been talking for some time on this program about the economy of our nation, and what's happening globally in the economy with other nations as well. And as of recent, we've been talking about Venezuela. I mean, this is a socialist country with a new president, Nicolas Maduro, who was the successor of Hugo Chavez. Right now, this oil-rich company is literally crumbling before us because of the oil prices are so low, some of obviously mismanagement of funds in this country, but people are starving. They're going hungry. They have set up so many bartering systems on social media. They're trading Pampers for a toilet paper. They are on a two-day work week right now because they can't even afford to run the electricity in some of these big cities. They have mandatory four-hour blackouts, and it's getting really dangerous. They're saying that Venezuela is a bomb right now, ready to explode. And the important thing for us is not to live close-minded, but for us to be aware of what's happening in the nations of the world, one, so that we can have compassion, but two, we can actually learn from what other people are experiencing. Can you imagine? There is no food waiting in lines just to be able to have bread. Some things that we just take for granted, running to the store and just picking up a few items, people are living off of them for their sustenance and trying to make it. In fact, many of them now are saying that most of the children and some of the adults are completely malnourished. I want you to watch this.
Democrática, nosotros no sabemos lo que pueda pasar en este país. Venezuela es una bomba que en cualquier momento puede explotar.
Compañera, yo estoy listo para entregarle al poder comunal las plantas que haya parado cualquier pelucón en este país. Planta parada, planta entregada al pueblo. Pero vamos a hacerlo. ¡Es la hora de hacerlo!
This is serious. When you have in Caracas a murder every 2 hours, your heart just goes out to the people of Venezuela and all the suffering people in the nations of the world. It's important for us to be able to pray for them and for us to learn less America goes the same way. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about America's debt, who owns it, as well as new reports about millennials coming from the Pew Research that now more than ever in America's history, dating back to the 1800s, are more millennials actually living at, young people living at home between age 18 to 34 than ever before. Join us when we get right back from this break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? It will kill you. But we've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
$50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos today, filling in for Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Steve Kalaszewski. But we're talking about, Steve, Venezuela, and my goodness, you know, your heart just goes out to people that are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day that there's so many people hurting in the community, you know, just in your local community, and it's like everywhere you turn around, it's like, you know, bless people's heart, they're just kind of going through something, and then I realized that some people you talk to, and they go, what?
They have
no idea. People are hurting? Well, you have to look, you know. If you don't have a heart of compassion, you may not even notice that someone's actually going through things. We have to be able to look at people and be able to empathize and put ourselves, you know, in their shoes. And if you look for that type of stuff, I guess you'll see it. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, I think, right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be reaching
global Christian.
Out, yeah, you know, reaching out to other people and just how can I help you? How can I be of service? And it's a beautiful thing that when we can be there for each other, we don't have to wait for a hurricane to come. We don't have to wait for a natural disaster to come. But we can actually be there for each other every day, and which helps all of us,
yeah.
You know, in the long run. But we're talking about Venezuela and why this is important. Because we've talked several times in our program about the financial woes of this country, and could this be a tipping point? This is a socialist country. They have partnered with Iran before, an oil-rich country. Some reports are they have the largest oil reserve of any nation in the world. And obviously, with oil prices selling way below $100 now, hovering around $40, they're not making any money.
Right.
And they're not able to feed their people. They're looting. You can imagine you don't have electricity. And now, Steve, they don't have sugar. They don't have sugar. And so Coca-Cola has stopped bottling and they stopped all productions in Venezuela. And they're concerned about a potential coup that's going to occur there because people now are heading to the streets saying, we've got to eat.
Yeah.
There's nothing to eat. I want to share with you something about what The Guardian just released. They said that nutritionists now are looking around. They're saying that there's long-term health risk because of the low quality of food that is available. You know, people are walking out with bags of groceries, but it's just, you know, small little items. And this is what they interviewed a gentleman by the name of Juan Gonzalez. And he says that he would go to the butcher when times were better and he'd buy a few nice steaks for himself. And then he would buy cow lung. They call it buffet, if I'm pronouncing it right. And he'd chop it up and feed it to his dog when, you know, things were good. He says now, buffet is what I eat, and I eat it only when I can get it.
Wow.
I mean, things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things change. And who knew? You know, who knew that what they would buy to feed dogs, they now are eating for themselves when they can actually get it. They're saying now that they can't feed the children, and so they're mixing, you know, cornstarch with water, and they're kind of making all these type of concoctions with what they have to feed small children. And small children don't understand. The elderly, you know, same thing with the elderly. And it's crisis mode. And why is this important? Why? Well, we've said it before. You know, we need to have compassion for the people of Venezuela, other people that are suffering in the world. We need to be able to pray for them. They need revival. They need an outpouring of God's Spirit. They don't need to be looking to governments to supply their needs. They need to be looking to God. They need to repent and see, you know, where they've left the Lord and cry out for God's supernatural provision. But they don't need to seek just God's hand. They need to seek God's face. Well, the prescription is the same for all of us, mm-hmm. that no matter what you're struggling and what you're going through, you know, you need to fight any natural tendency to lean on anything else but God.
Yeah.
You know, but God.
You know, and as we're talking about this, it reminds me of what we've talked about many times before in regards to the dominoes. And if you've ever seen, you know, a kid's toy of all these long stacks of dominoes, you might be one domino on one side of the stack and notice that there might be one falling on that side. And that might not be your domino, but we have to recognize that all these are connected. And what we talked about before with Woodrow Wilson and what ended up being the United Nations, what he created was the fact that you see all the different currencies of the world, they are connected. And if one nation or one economy falls, like what you're hearing right now, they're saying that they're calling for a state of emergency. They're saying that it's a bomb that could go off in regards to their economy. That matters. And if an entire culture of Venezuela collapses, that's going to affect all the other nations, the debt that they hold of someone else, or their exports, their imports. And you're seeing the fact of this is increasing. You're seeing the fact of what we talked about in Europe with Greece. You're seeing the financial woes happening. And you've talked to us about preparing. And it's like, this might not be even in the very continent that you live in, but it matters because this has a great impact on what could happen in the days ahead.
Definitely. Definitely. And so we just got to, you know, be alert.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared, which, you know, really brings us to a point talking about where are we? You know, we've mm-hmm. been talking about how, you know, how God's been sharing with us prophetically and many of you as well and other, you know, other believers in the country and in the world that America, you know, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. That, yes, that, you know, we are believing for a third great awakening. We are contending, believing, expecting, moving in faith, and pursuing it. We're not waiting for revival to fall. We are mm-hmm. seeking God, and we're experiencing personal revival. And we are. We're seeing God do so many awesome things in our midst at the Dream Center. You know, so many things are happening. And we're encouraged, but we know that God wants to do more, you know, and we want to partner with God for more. More what? Of his will, you know? God wants everybody in, you know? Everybody yeah. in. But at the same time that, you know, God has also shared with us that there are going to be some tough times ahead. There are going to be some economic downturns that really could be huge. And sometimes it's not a popular message. You know what I mean? It's easier to say, hey, things are going to be lovely and flowery. But, you know, you only share what God shows you, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is what he was showing. He's showing many this. But you don't, even just natural common sense, just look at the economy. We cannot continue with $16, $17 trillion. Really, the International Monetary Fund says it's like, close, you know, way more than that, the real figures. But they go constantly throwing out numbers like $16 and $17 trillion worth of debt. That is a lot of money. And we're just, you know, hanging in there, if you will. It's important we understand that there's a tipping point. I remember James Robinson's word that this was came out back in 2008. He got home to mail this thing out to everybody. And the prophetic word was, you know, you choose humility or humiliation, but you choose. In fact, I just saw that today on my desk before I came into the studio, and what a powerful word. We are at a crossroads right now. Where are we going to go? Not just America, but the church. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to go? Are we going to be, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14? Are we going to just, you know, cry out to God, or are we going to point fingers at lost people? You know, and you know, Steve, mm-hmm. this is a crazy notion. You know, lost people, they act lost.
Right.
Yeah, believe it or not. You know?
Don't be surprised.
That's not the issue. You know, it's if my people who are called by his name, right? If we are the ones that humble ourselves. And we're beginning to see that, but we also just want to be prepared. We want to be prepared. I want to show you, we could throw up 2350, but I want to show you some of the countries that actually own our debt, right? $16, $17 trillion, $12.9 trillion, obviously, we own ourselves, right? Not just us, really, our future generations, our children and our grandchildren, because we're not going to be here to pay that off. You also see where China has $1.3 trillion of this debt. That's a lot of money for a communist country to have. Japan has another, you know, $1 trillion. Some other countries combined have 3.8. What's interesting is that Saudi Arabia was just released that they actually own anywhere between $117 to $150 billion of America's debt. That's not good. That's not good. And we just still have more printing of the money, more spending, more. There's no, you know, no restraint whatsoever. And we're not in a good place. But it's not just us. You know, it's globally. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think you're hearing part of the reason, so much of the outcry. And, you know, we're looking, things don't just happen economically just because it's economic. There is a sin factor. And I believe that, you know, the Bible says it's righteousness is exalts a nation. We can think that we can elect a person. Not one person can possibly be responsible for turning an entire nation. Not the 430 elected officials, whether they be in the Congress and in the Senate, and obviously the presidency. The 430 people can't possibly be responsible for the rest of the entire 330 million people that call America home. You know, it's us. We the people. And so we want to be ones that say, hey, we've got to turn back. We got to bring God at the forefront of everything. And we need to find out where we've lost our ways. I mean, it's clear the lines are being so drawn today. They're so bold today. Yet people are trying to blur them so much. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to be talking about how we can be prepared and how others, they sometimes mock being prepared. You know, the Bible says that a prudent man sees danger and he takes action. That's what a wise person does. We want to be able to be wise, right? And be prepared. But before we go to break, I do want you to hear about this special offer. Listen, for your partnership of any amount, we love our partners. Partner with VFN TV today and receive this special offer.
Offer 2006, All In, the coming revival and testimonies of the glory of God. As I was going to speak on a particular message at the VFN Dream Center, the Lord suddenly changed my message to begin to share about the testimonies from the Brownsville Revival at Pensacola, Florida, which I was a participant in. It was amazing testimonies and stories of what took place at the Brownsville Revival. And as we begin to share, expectancy grew. And that's exactly what happened at the VFN Dream Center. You've got to hear these prophetic testimonies in this message right now. It's offer 2006 for your gift of any amount. That's offer 2006 when you partner with VFN TV. To become a partner is very simple. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now. Or mail to VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or call 844-408-3688. Don't forget, partner today. That's offer 2006.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means straddle the jail, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church, that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
Are students compelled to do an assignment that goes against their beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My second grade daughter was required to do yoga in her phys ed class, and I have requested a meeting with the teachers, but I wondered if you had some ideas on how I should best approach the subject with them.
Well, there's a couple of things you can do, and one of the things that I would suggest is you go right to the teacher and ask directly for your child to be opted out of a religious exercise in the public schools. You know, it's one thing to talk about a variety of different religious beliefs in the context of an educational setting. It's another thing to require a student to participate in a religious exercise, and compelling participation in that is not something that should be allowed, and we would suggest that in that case you go directly to the teacher, get a successful result. But let me also get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice so we can get you some direct help on this.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion. And what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve Kolaszewski. Listen, we're talking about America. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about Venezuelans that right now are going hungry, and our need to have compassion, our need to empathize, our need to see ourselves as a global Christian and to learn and to say, my goodness, what can I do, but also what can I learn? And we need to learn. We have lots to learn. You know, we need wisdom, right? And we're talking about some of the debt that we have in our nation and how, you know, the answer is, you know, for many, it seems, you know, just lean on the government. Just get more. And they're even talking about raising minimum wage all across the board up to like $15 an hour. I want you to show, I want you to see what other countries, what their minimum wage is, just so you can get perspective. The United States has the lowest minimum wage out of many of these countries, lower than Canada, lower than the United Kingdom. You got Netherlands, New Zealand. Yet, we still have the most robust economy in the world. You know, just to give you some sort of comparison, it's good. Just to give you some sort of comparison, Apple, you know, iPhones, iPads.
Yeah.
That company alone is worth more than the entire Russian stock exchange.
Wow.
Just one of our companies. All the innovation, all the tech companies, 99.9%, they all come from our country. And so do we want to be able to raise, what are we going to do to local business owners when we say that they have to pay this minimum wage? You know, I think maybe they also need to be state regulated. People need to vote on it. We need wisdom in this because at the same time, you got places like we lived in New Jersey, New York, super expensive, you know, really,
I don't know how people really were making it there. But the whole idea is that, listen, if you're making minimum wage, you want to be able to, you know, grow as an individual, learn, get some experience, add some knowledge, you know, to yourself so that you can actually be creative and step on out and see about earning a higher wage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a kind of an entry level. You know, many times a business owner wishes that they could pay more for a certain position, but that's the position it is, and that's what it's allotted for. It just comes down to the numbers sometimes. But it's okay. You know, instead of looking for a bottom level, raise your vision. Mm-hmm. Cry out to God. Look, God has lots of positions for you. He has lots of things that he can do for you. Why be a minimum wage person if you know, and that's what you're earning? You know, God, listen, you're working. You know, they're going hungry in Venezuela. That is a blessing. But I'm saying that if you're wanting more, let's not demand that others give us a rock bottom minimum. Let's just believe God for more.
Right.
We can do that, especially if we're honoring him when his tithes and offerings, we're not robbing him, as Malachi says. You know, we're giving the Lord what belongs to the Lord. We're worshiping him. It's part of our worship. We can believe for more. I want to encourage you today in that. But I want to take you straight to Jim Baker, where they're talking about where they've maybe got some backlash about preparing. And listen, you want to prepare. Right. A wise person sees danger and prepares.
If you know, what is happening in other nations and it's about to come here, wisdom would be to prepare. Absolutely.
I mean, if you've seen the natural disasters that have hit all parts of our country, I mean, not any part of our country is left untouched, whether it be a hurricane, tornado, hailstorm, water drought, I mean, you name it, blizzards.
It's happened.
It's happened everywhere in the country. Wouldn't it be wise to have a few days? Maybe go on the stretch, you know, 60, 90 days worth of just basic food that you can reach out to in the event there's a calamity. Well, I want you to watch this as they just share a little bit about some wisdom about Noah. Watch this.
When you talked about, you saw somebody on television, another church program, ministry program, making fun of storing food. Mm-hmm. But, you know, throughout the whole Bible, I mean, I could take you today from cover to cover the Bible, you know, the Noah and his ark.
Oh, absolutely.
They stored the food to the saving of their household,
that's
the Bible
right.
says.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it talks about that in Genesis chapter 6. Can I read that for you?
If you want to.
It says, I will bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh wherever there is breath of life under heaven, and everything that is on earth will die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You must go into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring every living thing of all flesh, two of every kind, into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, two of every kind of bird, two of every kind of animal, and two of every kind of creeping thing on the earth will come to you to be kept alive. Now, this is what the Lord told Noah to do. He said, also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and gather it to yourself, and it will be for food for you and for them. So God told Noah, listen, you're going to be on the ark for a while. You need to prepare food. Take the food with you to preserve you through this coming storm for you, your family, and all of the animals. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you look at the scriptures, you have to look at the weight of scriptures. If 10 different verses in the Old Testament deal with food, only, let's say, for example, one of those verses deal with God supernaturally providing the food. The other 9 deal with God supernaturally providing through action.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see, it's the weight of Scripture. I feel like so oftentimes we go after that one particular verse. Could God have supernaturally provided all the food for Noah? Yes, he could have, but he didn't. What he did was he supernaturally told him to prepare. The same way with Joseph, when the famine came throughout the entire world, God could have supernaturally provided food for the whole world, but he didn't. He supernaturally gave Joseph the means to interpret a dream. That's the weight of Scripture. Yes, he did supernaturally provide food. You know, if I can say one more thing, talking about the weight of Scripture, another example of that is you always hear, like, if you're going through something, hey, listen, just kind of sit back and chill. The battle is the Lord's. And you can just sit back and do nothing. That, you know, that is a scripture verse. But that only happened a couple of times throughout the entire Word of God.
Right.
All the other times the Lord said, hey, pick up your sword.
Right.
You got to fight. I'm going to be there with you, but you can have the faith that you're going to succeed, but you've got to apply some action with that faith. You've got to go by the weight of Scripture. And throughout the Word of God, God has people prepare physically for the things that come upon the world.
And you know what? That's called obedience.
That is so important. Mm-hmm. She says it's called obedience. You do what God tells you to do. Listen, we have a relationship with God. And a relationship with God means that there's two-way communication. We pray means we talk, right, and we share. But the other part of prayer that often gets overlooked is that we actually listen. We actually set our ears to hear. You know, John 10 tells us that my sheep hear my voice. And so God wants to speak to us. He wants to obviously encourage us and love on us, but he also wants to prepare us with warnings so that we can actually be engaged in this thing called life. It's an interactive experience. We're walking together with God, right?
Yeah.
And he's sharing with us. So he wants to step out in faith and not just sit back. And we're not those that shrink back and destroy, but we're those that move forward with him. And so it's just wise. But I want you to listen to Pastor Langford as he talks not only about Noah, but he's talking about the 10 virgins. I mean, God was telling them, listen, be prepared. Mm-hmm. The bridegroom is coming, and you want to be prepared. And at the last moment when you hear him, you're not going to be able to get oil at that time. You need to be ready.
Yeah.
As well as the connection with the mark of the beast and the beast economy that we're, you know, on the verge of. I want you to watch this.
Noah's day, God told Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And so what did he do? He prepared an ark, and he said, gather food for thee and for them. I was always taught that as a young Bible preacher, all the animals went into hibernation on Noah's ark. It's believed that Noah spent 377 days on the ark. God told him to collect enough food to feed him and all of those animals. He did that. But here's what's key to this. Jesus gives us an analogy in Matthew 25. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. But then he goes into the story about the 10 virgins. There were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. And they all tarried and they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose. They trimmed their lamps. And the foolish who didn't prepare said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The Greek says going out. They said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Then he answered and said, depart from me, I know you not. Now, why is Jesus talking about buying and selling in Matthew about the 10 virgins? Because in the mark of the beast scenario, Revelation 13, 16, and he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, his number is 666. So Jesus gives us a veiled prophecy about the end times, how that the virgins would not be prepared. The foolish took their lamps. They took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. So when the bridegroom trump was blown, the foolish said, give us of your oil. They said, no, go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Jesus was telling us there's coming an era, there's coming a time of buying and selling. And here's what's key, folks. When you do an exegesis on Revelation 13, and we'll get to that maybe later on, he says, no man can buy or sell, say he had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. Here is wisdom of him that understanding count. The word count in the Greek is compute. It literally compute. 5585 in the strong exhaustive concordance. 5585 says to reference 5586. 5586 says ticket for admission. 5586 says, go back and read 5584. It means to manipulate. Okay, now put all of that together now. And he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. That's the manipulation. Why? That no man can buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. Now, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Compute. Look it up in your strong, exhaustive concordance. The word is compute. Now, John's writing this 2,000 years ago about computers. They've taken over everything. Hybrids, giants, mixing all of this stuff together. In the 70s, Motorola was working on a biocomputer chip to implant in the back of a man's head, and its tentacles would grow into his brain and get the energy, and you could give him a multiple 50-digit equation and tell him to multiply that, and like that, he could give you the answer. This is how, this is 40 years ago. We are so far advanced now, and God, that's why he's telling us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. He's telling you to get prepared.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus returns. Mm. So we need to be prepared. Listen, this is basic wisdom, but more than just wisdom, we need to obey God.
Yeah.
We need to obey God, which reminds me, listen, go to VFNTV.com today, sign up for the Torch newsletter, and our gift to you, free, just for signing up, you're going to get prudent preparation. You need to get this. You need to be prepared. Listen, I went through Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey. I've been through hurricanes here on the Gulf Coast, but I did not expect to be going through a hurricane in New Jersey. And it was horrible for those people that were there, those who did not prepare, those who didn't know to prepare, those who scoffed and laughed and said we would never have a hurricane on the East Coast and it never happens. Well, let me tell you, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, they put a gas, they rationed gas. There were lines. It happened. There was long lines. Well, we were prepared. We had gas. We had food. And so there were two things happening during calamity. In fact, what, you know, I want you to see firsthand what was going on. I mean, this is Hoboken, New Jersey. This is right next to the Hudson River. It's right there. And so the people are walking, wading through. That's the PATH train station. Trains weren't operable. And there's water everywhere. Cars were getting stuck. And people were stores were being flooded out. They're taking a boat. This is downtown Hoboken. This is like surreal. You don't expect that. And they're trying to rescue people. You think you're going to get in a taxi? No. The taxis are flooded out. And so now what are you going to do? You know, what about the elderly? What about those that didn't, you know, prepare? What about those that are so limited in their budget that they can't get immediate extras? Well, that means that you will have to prepare way in advance, little by little, because you can't do it, you know, one, two, three type of thing. And so there's always two lines during calamity. You know, there's one on the receiving line, and then the other part of that line is those that are giving out. Well, you need to make that determination what part of that line you want to be on, the receiving end, or do you want to be ready to minister and be one that has something to give away? Which reminds me of a night vision the Lord gave me, Steve. Mm-hmm. I had this vision where in this dream, the center of the United States, there was some sort of catastrophe, a natural disaster, and it was so bad that, the first 48 hours they tried to do search and rescue, it was so bad that it was a known fact. No one survived. I mean, it was just very little people could have survived this thing. And so I went to bed that night in the dream, and someone came and woke me first thing in the morning and said, you're not going to believe this, that while we had this natural, disaster, our enemies attacked us. And these planes were flown in over the nation, and they were just circling the entire nation. I saw it on the map, and they were dropping these bombs, and they were exiting right out the Gulf. They were coming in like from Cuba, circle around the west, and they were just going out of the northeast. And then I was brought into another room with three people, and they were showing me plans of what we needed to do. And so that's just a playbook right out of the enemy. Can we not see the enemy exploiting us in a moment of weakness, in a moment when we're done, then everything else happens? Listen, we need to cry out to God. We need to be prepared. And if God's setting up an ark for us, He's setting up a place for us to be able to say, be prepared and be safe. Be cautious. We need to obey. Which actually brings me to, Steve, what is happening right now in America. You think that maybe this is just a good idea, or maybe that, you know, we need another amusement park. But maybe this is a prophetic sign. Maybe God is showing the nation and the nations of the world that maybe this is a prophetic sign that maybe we need to be prudent and prepare an ark. Right now in Kentucky, Ken Ham, a creationist, is getting ready to launch the Ark Encounter?
Yep, Ark Encounter.
The Ark Encounter. They rebuilt Noah's Ark to the exact dimensions. July the 7th, it's opening up. I want you to see this enormous park, museum, gospel. I mean, they're going to preach the gospel through this thing.
Yep.
I want you to see firsthand, maybe this is a prophetic sign. Be prepared. Watch this.
I'm Harry Morton. I'm the job superintendent here at the Ark Encounter. I meet with the contractors weekly to make sure that all the project deadlines are being met. I came here from Green Bank, West Virginia, where I worked on the largest fully steerable radio telescope. On a typical day, we arrive here at daylight, sure to meet a list of challenges. But because of the talented people we have working here, we always work through them. We have about 170 people working right now on the Ark, installing the plumbing, the siding, the timber framing, drywall, electrical fixtures, and much more. As we're moving out of winter into spring, the work continues at full speed.
Hi, I'm Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the coming Ark Encounter. I am amazed every time I come here and stand and look at the size of this full-size Ark. It really is amazing. And I'm also amazed, too, at the way in which God has brought together hundreds of talented people in a miraculous way to make this happen. What a place this will be.
people come off Interstate 75 and they'll get on Route 36 and then come to the large parking lot, 4,000 car spaces. They'll then go to the ticket booth and get on shuttles. These shuttles will take them on a mile ride down a valley, across a creek, and up the other side, and they'll be basically leaving the modern world and then coming up into Noah's world. And it is a beautiful drive. Now, inside the Ark, there's 132 Ark bays that are filled with world-class exhibits, covering lots of different topics about Noah's life, about how Noah could have fit all the animal kinds, the land animals, on board Noah's Ark, how many would need to be on board the Ark, about flood legends from around the world. There'll be sculptured animals in cages. There'll be information on how they could have been fed and watered and waste products removed. And then there's going to be exhibits too on how do we know the Bible's true. And we're going to present the gospel, but in a very tasteful but challenging way to people. As people exit the Ark on the lower deck, they'll then go down a ramp into a very large gift shop, a very unique collection of gifts in here, including a large range of the basic creation apologetics books that Answers in Genesis produces. We also have a 1,500 seat restaurant, and eventually there'll be a 600 seat restaurant as well on the roof deck of the Ark. We have a very large petting zoo and some animal specialists who will be conducting special animal programs throughout the day after it is opened. We also have a massive zipline course, phenomenal ziplines across the valley, some really long ones, basically about 4,000 plus feet long. People are going to find them a thrill to ride. You can even zipline across from the parking lot to the Ark and back again.
Well, here I am on the roof deck of the biggest timber frame structure in the world, the life-size Noah's Ark, that's opening July 7. And for the first 40 days and 40 nights, we'll have daytime entry and evening time entry. So go online at arkencounter.com to get your tickets. Reserve your place in history. The voyage begins again July 7.
Beautiful. I mean, this is just so beautiful. Mm. Listen, 2 Peter 3:9 says, look, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. This is not God's desire for anyone to perish. He loves you, and he has an awesome plan for your life. Listen, make Jesus the Lord of your life today. This is some of the greatest days to be alive. Listen, we can avoid this calamity. We can turn our hearts to God. God is speaking to us. Let us be prepared for every situation. But be prepared for the most important thing. It's knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior. We want to take this time to pray for you. We are encouraged so much by your prayers and thoughts for us. Steve, yes. Would you close us out?
Yes. Father God, we just lift up, God, the nation of Venezuela, God, and all the people that are just enduring this climate that's happening right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. We ask, Lord, that the church would just expand in the entire nation. Lord, we ask you, God, that the church, the entire world, Lord, that they would just seek your face and that they would just shine the light into the world, Lord, and that we would heed these words of wisdom, that they would heed these warnings, God, and that we would recognize that our only hope is in Christ Jesus, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would just forgive the abortion in this land, that you would send revival, Lord, and send a third great awakening, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. And of course, you can always find that more at VFNTV.com. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.